TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents Relationship Management, featuring Dr. Wayne Thompson, the show that's designed to address all facets of our relational life, beginning with the relationship we have with ourselves. Now here's your host, Dr. Wayne Thompson.
And a very pleasant good day, world. We are going to continue with our series on establishing a strong marriage. And, you know, last week we spoke about differentiation and different dimensions of it. And towards the end, we touch on the fact that when two persons come together in an intense relationship such as marriage, one of four types of interactions are set into motion. And they are competition, conflict, accommodation, and assimilation. And today we want to focus on the process of becoming one. The process of becoming one. Oh my goodness, we certainly do need a lot of clarity on this. And so, as we continue with this series then, the process of becoming one. We must raise our children to develop a good sense of self. And then these two individuals, when they come together, they are in a position to give of themselves to the marital relationship. Now, this process of becoming one has created a lot of conflict and havoc in marriage for centuries. If we look at it in a literal sense, we actually try to make two people one. And that is not what the word is teaching us. The process of becoming one does not involve the eradication of the other person's identity. Okay? You see, I believe that this is a fundamental point that is distinctly different. And when we compare this process of becoming one with Eastern religions and Christianity, we have some clear distinctions. You see, salvation according to Eastern religions is to acknowledge the self as an illusion and then to recognize a oneness with the eternal force in the universe. Now, in Christianity, however, salvation is relational. Big distinct difference. It's relational. It comes when the person or self is rightly related to God, the creator and the provider of eternal life. Critically important. Now, this area of assimilation in marriage, where the personhood of one spouse is given up to accomplish what is called becoming one, that process of assimilation really then is not Christian at all. You see, a Christian marriage would be more like accommodation. And in accommodation, what we have then is two separate persons. And so let's make no mistake about it. A Christian marriage has nothing to do with assimilation. Nothing to do with assimilation whatsoever. You do not get rid of the personhood of the other spouse. And yet we see that throughout many Western societies and cultures where Christianity is practiced. And we wonder why so many marriages are failing. But the truth of the matter is, Christian marriages are more in a line with accommodation. And this means that the two persons in the marriage actually maintain their distinct personhood. Because let's be clear, God does not want any individual to get rid of their individuality. And we ought to recognize that. So each person maintains their distinct personhood, but agree to come together in a unity and a oneness of commitment. Oh my goodness. But coming together in a unity and a oneness of commitment. And you know, commitment here really means service, to serve. What is very critically important to note about marriage as we talk about the process of becoming one, that the key verses in Ephesians 5 which speak about the marriage relationship are introduced by the directive, be subject to one another. Ephesians 5 verse 21. We tend to omit that one, but it is very, very clear that unless you are prepared to be subjective one to the other, submissive one to another in the fear of God, with this knowledge, with this understanding, then you are not on the right foundation. So, in a Christian marriage, each partner is to be subject to the other. Each is to be love and each is to love and be loved. Oh my goodness. Let me back up again on that. In a Christian marriage, each partner is to be subject to the other. And each partner is to love and be loved. Each partner in the marriage is to forgive and be forgiven. In a Christian marriage, each partner is to serve and be served. Oh my goodness. Isn't this powerful? And in a Christian marriage, each partner is to know and be known. And you know, God has this thing lined up real good. The problem isn't with God. Even though when you listen to us speak, you would get the impression as if our problem is we are practicing an old archaic system that has come from an old archaic book called the Bible. But there's nothing old and archaic about the Bible. It is extremely relevant today. And the problem is that we have been lacking the ability to follow through with what has been prescribed for us in order for us to build healthy marriages. My goodness. So a marriage in which one partner, the husband or the wife, is asked to give up his or her personhood for the sake of the other, you are actually denying God's expression in and through that person. That is wrong. And it is not God ordained for a spouse to lose his or her identity for the sake of the marriage. That is utter rubbish, utter foolishness. Life does not work like that. The marital relationship becomes 10 times more fulfilling when both persons are expressed equally through the marital union. Make no mistake about that. You expect another human being to be excited, to be filled with jubilance and joy when they have been walked and trampled upon like a doormat, that they have no opinion, that they lack the capacity to think, that their brain is only there to fill up the space. Man, you better catch yourself and stop joking. Not until both persons are expressed equally does the capacity for a fulfilling relationship exist. Now, let's clarify something. A marital oneness does not mean that there will be no conflict, that there will be no differences between the spouses. I don't know where we get this foolishness from. A marital oneness does not mean that. And having some differences and having some conflict does not mean that you're not one either. You see, the truth of the matter is, conflict is expected because you have two distinct and unique individuals that are equal in the act of creation. So let's be very clear with this. Marital oneness isn't measured or validated by not having any conflict. As a matter of fact, a marriage without conflict often signifies that one of the partners or one of the spouses has given up his or her personhood. Oh my goodness. So if you hear anybody bragging about they've been married for 40 years or 25 years and they have not had one conflict during that entire time, what they're actually telling you is that one of the individuals in that marriage has given up his or her personhood. Now, on the question then of being subject to one spouse, being subject to one spouse does not mean giving in for the sake of avoiding conflict or maintaining harmony. In fact, giving in for the sake of avoiding conflict may be a way of actually letting the other spouse down. You see, commitment involves a willingness to confront a partner in love, as well as a willingness to listen when a spouse expresses a difference of opinion or is confrontational. You see, commitment assures a love that cares enough to listen, to understand, and to find ways to work out the conflicts, even if it is through confrontation to bring clarity. So we have some silly ways of measuring oneness that are not realistic. Now, in the process of becoming one, we have to learn new roles. Make no mistake about it. And immediately after the break, we're going to talk about learning new roles. We'll be back right after this.